sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Matthew 24:12. Just as soon as the people of God are sealed in their foreheads, it is not any seal or mark that can be seen, but a settling into the truth, both intellectually and spiritually, so they cannot be moved. Just as soon as God's people are sealed and prepared for the shaking, it will come. Indeed, it has already begun. The judgments of God are now upon the land to give us warning that we may know what is coming. The days are fast approaching, and there will be great perplexity and confusion. Satan, clothed in angels' robes, will deceive, if possible, the very elect. There will be gods and lords many. Every wind of doctrine will be blown. The mark of the beast will be urged upon us. Those who have step by step yielded to worldly demand and conformed to worldly customs will not find it a hard matter to yield to the powers that be. Rather than subject themselves to derision, insult, threatened imprisonment, and death. The contest is between the commandments of God and the commandments of men. In this time, the gold will be separated from the dross in the church. True godliness will be clearly distinguished from the appearance and tinsel of it. Many a star that we have admired for its brilliancy will then go out in darkness. Shaft like a cloud will be borne away on the wind. Even from place where we see only floors of rich wheat, all who assume the ornaments of the sanctuary, but are not clothed and with Christ's righteousness, will appear in the shame of his own nakedness. But there are men who will receive the truth. These will take the place made vacant by those who become offended and leave the truth. Men of true Christian principle will take their place and will become faithful, trustworthy householders to advocate the word of God in its true bearing and its simplicity. The Lord will work so that he is disaffected, so the disaffected one will be separated from the ones, from the true and loyal ones. The ranks will not be diminished. Those who are firm and true will close up the vacancies that are made by those who become offended and apostatized.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, we are most grateful and thankful that we are in the land of the living today, Father. Once again, Father, I know I repeat it all the time, but the signs of time are being fulfilled all around us, and these signs are being fulfilled to let us know that your coming is near, even at the door. So today, Father, we pray for double and apart your Holy Spirit, the lives of those that are listening today, that will continue to draw close to you while you may be found. Because, Father, we realize that when you return, it will be too late for us to seek and find you then. So we, once again, Father, we pray that as the message go forward, it will go forward with power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our listening audience this afternoon, and we want to say a special welcome to those of you who might be listening to us for the first time. Our subject tonight, or this afternoon, sorry, is should state, church and state unite, or religious freedom? Should church and state unite, or religious freedom? That's our topic for this afternoon, and we're going to take it from a perspective, from a little different perspective this afternoon. If you want to contact us, you can give us a call at 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com, or you can visit our website where at www.tpministries.org, where you'll find articles written by Brother Paul, by Brother Renmick, and Sister Marlene. You'll also find interesting websites that you could visit that will assist you. Interesting links that will assist you in your Bible study and as we go throughout this program. Once again, tomorrow night, that's Monday, the holiday, we'll be having a live two-hour commercial-free call-in show based on the same topic that we're discussing this afternoon, that is church and state, should they unite, and religious freedom. So call your family and your friends and let them know that another Turning Point Presents will be on the air tomorrow night. And also, don't forget to call them now to let them know that Turning Point Ministries is on the air right now. But before we get into our discussion this afternoon, what we want to do is, as usual, we're going to let Brother Paul give us an update on those things that appear in the papers that might be of some spiritual significance to us. Brother Paul.
Thank you much, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. Coming from the newspapers this last week, on Friday in the Tribune, it says, a guest suffering from depression fall from the Twin Tower from the 20th floor of the Royal Towers, that's over at Atlantis. You know, our hearts go to his family today, and if they're still in town, you know, the Lord will comfort you during this time of bereavement. You know, ladies and gentlemen, he's not the only person that was suffering. There are a lot of people in the Bahamas and around the world are suffering from depression. You know, we'd like for you to pray for these people, you know, because, you know, the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, and this is a terrible ordeal. You know, he came all the way from his country where he lived into the Bahamas. He just couldn't deal with the situation. You know, he took his own life. How sad it is in this time in which we live. And then man who has a lot of boldness, a 65-year-old gentleman, wrestled a weapon, a gun from the gunman's hand. You believe that? A 65-year-old gentleman. I mean, I know he's empowered by the angels of the Lord. I mean, but, and he's also, I don't know where he's getting that holy boldness from, but he, you know, the young man was able to get away with the pouch, but in return, the gentleman was able to wrestle a gun from his hand. That gun now is in the hands of the right authorities, which is the police department. Also, BEC said they are trying to contain an oil spill they had out by Clifton Pier. Then the F&M chairman, vice chairman, all civil servants are discouraged from seeking to victimize PLPs. You believe that? In the year 2007, Jesus is right around the corner, and he had to send a warning out that no victimization should be going on because that's not the job of his government. They want everyone to work together, and rightly so. They want PLPs, F&Ms, BDMs, independents, and those who don't even vote all to work together, make this world go around. That's the way the Lord has designed it, ladies and gentlemen. That's why he's given us different gifts and different abilities so we can work in harmony with one another. And at the end of the day, we'll get our just reward when he returns. Then on a sad note, one of my customers' grandson was involved in an incident where he stabbed a young lady to death. And based on the news report, this young lady left behind six children, I should say. I don't know if they're little children, but, you know, I'd like for you to pray for our kids and also for the family members who are going to have the responsibility now to, you know, take care of these kids and rear them into the right way. Here again, you know, I had an opportunity to talk to this young man a few months ago, you know, but I guess, you know, the devil, he's always trying, you know, to get you to do things. I don't know if he did it, you know, but the report saying that, you know, they have him charged before the court and he's innocent until proven guilty. So why have it go, ladies and gentlemen? I want you to pray for him as he sit behind the prison cell today in Fox Hill, that he will have an opportunity to reflect whether guilty or not, that let him know that time is running out. There's still hope for him, and we hope that the young lady that lost her life, you know, that all was well with her, and she will rise again. She will be reunited once again with her kids. Remember that the Lord don't allow nothing to happen unless he knows exactly why, because he has promised not to put more on his children than what they can bear. Then last but not least, our Prime Minister, Mr. Hubert Ingram, addressed a crime issue in PAC. Under the headlines of The Guardian, said PM addressed crime issues impacting the Bahamas and the Caribbean. The Prime Minister said, and I quote, "I believe that we can all agree that crime and fear of crime continues to dominate too much the lives of Caribbean people, and so it is right that we should be focusing on addressing crime and in all its aspects and the elements," he said. So here again, the government is trying to see what they can do to stamp out crime, and that's going to be a part of our program today and also tomorrow night. God's willing, we'll be here. Although it's going to be a holiday, we'll be here. Let you know what the Bible says on these things and how we should be praying for the government and asking the Lord to give them the wisdom and knowledge and understanding how to rule in this time in which we live. It's a rough time, ladies and gentlemen, and people of the world, not only in the Bahamas, but all around the world. I'm like I said a few weeks ago, we are ungrateful. You know, we want the government to do everything, but is it just the government's problem? Or is it a societal problem? All of us need to work together, like a hand fit into a glove, that when the government work, they cannot be working in vain. And as the preachers preach, they will not be preaching in vain. And the Bible is quite clear. The word will go forward, and the Lord will do what it is he wanted to do.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, our program this afternoon, we'll be dealing with the topic, Church and State, Should They Unite? But we're going to talk a little bit about, again, you know, the election fever is still somewhat warm in the air, so we're going to look at some questions concerning those particular issues. Brother Paul, in the last election, as in many elections, we see that politicians get up there and they say things, those who win and those who also lose, and they promise all kinds of things. Is there any danger in them and Christians making those type of promises?
Yes, Brother Julian, there's great danger. Today I'd like to quote you something all the way from Numbers chapter 30, verse 1 and 2. In the days of Moses, the Bible says that Moses spake unto the heads of the tribe concerning the children of Israel, and even the children of the Bahamas, yea, around the world, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. If any man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath, or bind his soul with a bond, or promise, he should not break his word. He should do according to all the things that proceed out of his mouth." So just the other day, you know, all of our government officials who are now in the House of Assembly, they took an oath to uphold, you know, the laws of the land and the responsibility that is resting upon them that was given to them rightly by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he raised up governments and he put them down. So right here in the days of Moses, they were told that whenever they make a vow, they must keep it, and if they don't keep the vow, then they will be held accountable. That's Numbers chapter 30, verse 1 and 2.
Brother Paul, once again, you quoted from the Old Testament, and I'm sure somebody is saying, that's the Old Testament. That does not go for us in this time now. What would you have to say to them?
Right, Brother Julian, in the days of Jesus, when Jesus did his ministry, most of the times he quoted, at least matter of fact, all the times he quoted from the Old Testament. And when he was tempted by the devil, he said unto the devil in Matthew 4, verse 3 and 4, if the tempter came to him, Satan came to him saying, if thou be the Son of Man, command these stones to turn into bread. And Jesus answered him very directly. And Jesus said, he answered and said, it is written, man shall live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Mm-hmm. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, the Apostle Paul reminds us, now all these things happened to them, referring to the children of old, for an example, and they are written for our admonition, and to whom the ends of the world are come. And we are in that time, ladies and gentlemen. So the Apostle Paul said, all those things that were written, that's from Genesis right through to Revelation, were written for our time. And he said, we can, there's much to be learned if we just follow the example of what happened in the days of old. And yes, a lot of those things that took place then are indeed taking place even as we speak.
Brother Paul, there's another thing that we see from time to time, and that is people being quick to speak. Politicians and even some of the regular folk being quick to make verbal declaration before they weigh the cost of it, either for good or for evil. Is there any danger in that type of speech?
Yes, Brother Jay. And here again in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 2 to 7, and the Solomon, one of the wisest men that ever lived, he said, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy hand be hasty to other things before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few. In verse 6 he says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before angels that it was an error. Wherefore shall God be angry with thy voice, and destroy the work of thine hand. Verse 7, for in the multitude of dreams, many words, there are also divers, or many vanities, but fear thou, O God. So Solomon said, we must not be quick with our mouth. We must realize that God has given account. And when we do this, he said, we will sin against our flesh. And we will say things, not realizing we said them in the presence of angels. Because even the Bible says we must be careful, because sometimes we entertain angels unawares. So God has taken an accurate record of everything. So he said, be slow to speak and quick to listen. And those principles apply for everyone on planet Earth.
But the question we have now this afternoon, Brother Paul, is would we be held responsible for these statements in the judgment?
Yes, we would, Brother Julian. Once again, we go back to the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, where Solomon said, let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So that means the government officials, the police officers, the custom officers, whoever they may be, the mechanics, school teachers, whatever work it is we are doing, God is going to bring every week into judgment. So don't worry if the government is doing something in secret. God will deal with it. Don't mind if your husband is doing something in secret or your wife, God forbid. God will deal with it. Whatever is done in secret, it will be revealed openly. And when you get to heaven, you will see why who should have been there was not there. And God forbid you and I do not be there, because they will see why you and I are not there.
But the poor, past governments and governments from all over the world, when they come into power, one of the things that they always talk about is reducing crime and violence. But we see they still continue, and in a lot of cases it get worse. What is the cause of this?
Right, Brother Julian, I'll say I don't think it's solely the government fault, although they might make mistakes along the way. But you know, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, Solomon again speaking, in verse 23 of Proverbs chapter 1, the Lord had him to write these words down. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I have poured my spirit upon you, and I'll make known unto you my words. Because I have called, and you refuse, I have stretched up my hand, and no man regarded it. But ye have set aside all my counsel, and want none of my reproof. Then God said, I will laugh at your calamities. And we have much calamities here today. He said, I will mock when your fear come. When your fear come as a desolation, and your destruction come as a whirlwind, when distress and anger come upon you, then you will call for me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early, and they will not be able to find me. For they hate knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They want none of my counsel. They despise all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own device. For the turn away of the simple, and slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But I thank God for the good news. He said, but whosoever shall hearken to me, said the Lord, shall dwell safely, and quietly, and peacefully, and at ease from the fear of evil. So that's the good word. But the sad reality is the majority of us, maybe you might be 70-80% of us, don't want none of the counsel of the Lord. And because of that, we have chaos. And who we want to blame when the chaos comes? We want to blame the government. Knowing that it's because of us, things are the way they are. We don't want to turn. We don't want to listen to the counsel of the Lord. And week after week, the message go forward through the radio, through the television, through the newspaper, whatever the message come directly to us. In the midnight hour, when we lay upon our bed, and what do? Instead of we run with the counsel, instead of we humble ourselves, we turn away from it. We want to do evil and expect for good to come. But it would not happen, ladies and gentlemen, and God will hold us accountable at the end of days.
Did Jesus predict that these things would happen?
Yes, he did, Brother Julian. In the book of Luke, chapter 26 and 30, he said, "But as it was in the days of Noah, so should be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, and they drank, they married wives, and they gave in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, he said, like in the days of Lot, they did eat, and they drank, and they bought, and they sold, and they planted, and they built. But in the same day the Lot went out to Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the days of the Son of Man be revealed." So the Lord is quite clear, speaking to his disciples, and speaking even today, the modern day disciples, that the same how it was in the days of Noah, and how it was in the days of Lot, those days will be here when he revealed in the clouds of heaven. And there's nothing we can do to reverse it. And if you try, we'll be trying in vain, because God said his word will not return unto him void.
Brother Paul, because in the days of Lot, Noah being fulfilled in our sight right now, could this be the reason for the violence and escalating the crime and all the other things that we see happening around?
Yes, Brother John. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, Jesus said, "Because iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold." But sandwich in between those two verses in verse 11, he said, "But many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many." In the bottom of it, he said, "But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." It's because of iniquity. What does iniquity mean? Iniquity means you know it's wrong to steal apples. You know it's wrong to show up to work late. You know it's wrong to be cheating on your wife or on your husband. You know it's wrong to not be paying the government taxes. You know it's wrong to be going to church on the day you should not be going to church. That then stems to iniquity. And iniquity, according to 1 Samuel chapter 8, I think it is, said in 1 Samuel chapter 15, said iniquity is as witchcraft and rebellion is as stubbornness. So iniquity is not an easy thing. But could it be it's because of the false prophets that is causing many to be deceived? And because of this, many are indulging in iniquity, in heathen practices, and doing things that are not pleasing the sight of the Lord? And because of this, they bring chaos upon the land? I truly believe that's the reason, because the Bible said it would be because men have rejected God's law, things would begin to go downhill. And here we are. Things are surely going downhill, and they're going downhill fast. And I mean, every week you hear about a summit, or the government trying to do different things to try to bring people back to where they need to be. But men's hearts are so hard, they're so wicked, they don't want to hear the counsel. They don't even feel going to jail anymore. I know our government is on the record now, and they're thinking about if men do crime, they're not worthy of prison, and they're going to think about putting bracelets on their hand or on their legs, and they're not giving account for where they are. But some of these young men and young women are so far to the left, they don't care what you put on their hand. They just look at it as a bracelet, and they just go do what they have to do. But then the good thing about that is at least you will know where he or she was at that particular time. And if something happened at that place at that particular time, then you know it would have been them. And they'll find themselves locked up behind bars. So here again, you know, our heart goes to the government as they try to see what they can do to stem the tides of crime. But based on the Bible account, it will not get better.
Yes, Brother Paul. We always hear about the days of Lot and Noah. Could you tell us, maybe from your study, what it is to be in the days of Lot?
Well, Brother Julian, as a matter of fact, on the JNC, this is a new television network that just started by Bahama Journal, Jones Communication. Last week, there were two beautiful young ladies on the program, and they were trying to show why, at this time, you know, in history, that homosexuality is not as bad as you think it is. And, you know, I was amazed. I mean, two attractive young ladies, I'm sure, you know, they can find themselves, you know, nice husbands or whatever. And they were trying to show why they don't believe, you know, homosexuality should be looked at in the way that it is looked at. But I invite our audience to study Genesis chapter 18 and Genesis chapter 19. And what you will discover in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah was God had said he would destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham told him, said, "Lord, is there any way you can spare it?" And he went all the way down to 10. He said, even if you find 10, I will spare the city. I will not destroy it. But they could not even find 10. In fact, the count began at 50. Then it went to 45. Then it went to 30. Then it went to 20. And they ended up at 10. And they couldn't find 10 righteous people in the land. And it was so bad when the angels of the Lord sent His angels, when the Lord sent his angels into Sodom to deliver Lot and his wife and his two daughters, the Bible says in verse 9, in verse 4, sorry, of Matthew, of Genesis chapter 19, but before they laid down, before Lot and the angels and his two daughters and his wife laid down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, came past. They circled around the house of Lot, both old and young, and all the people from every quarters were there. Can you imagine that? That's exactly how it's going to be according to Revelation chapter 20 when the saints of God are in the New Jerusalem. The Bible says the wicked are going to circle the city of the New Jerusalem in Revelation chapter 20. And fire is going to come down and destroy them, just like it destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah in that day. So here we are. We have a picture of it. Early picture of what happened in the days of Sodom, in the days of Lot, in Genesis 19:4, where the people in the day circled the house of Lot. They were so desperate. They wanted to go with the angels of the Lord. And Lot said, "No, I have two daughters here. And go with them." And they said, "No, we want those two men." And it's history now. Sodom is right now burnt to ashes. And you know, they're going to rise to burn again. What a sad reality, because every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord before this world come to an end.
Brother Paul, I've read the story of Noah many times and read it through and through, I guess. Based on our discussion this afternoon, what stands out in your mind in terms of Noah and his preaching for 120 years?
One of the things that stands out in my mind, Brother Julian, in this passage is one of the key things that stands out in my mind was God told Noah that my spirit will not always strive with man. And remember, God said this was going to be one of the elements just before he come. And why is the Holy Spirit so important? The Holy Spirit is so important because without the Holy Spirit, we would not know what sin is. Because remember, the Bible said the Holy Spirit's job is to convict the world of sin. So without the Holy Spirit, men are right now doing things, not having no guilt for doing the things that they normally should not do. That's very important. You'll find it in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, where he said, my spirit will not always strive with man. And to think about it, that's exactly how it is today. Men are doing things and thinking nothing of it. They're doing whatever, and the Bible says in that day, because the Holy Spirit is not working upon the hearts of men anymore, men were doing wickedness, and there was evil continuously. You'll find that in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6. And the Bible said they repented, and it repented the Lord that he had made man upon the earth, and it grieved his heart. Don't you think the Lord's heart is grieved today? That over 2,000 years ago, he died on the cross, Calvary's cross, for all of us. All, and even today men are turning their hearts against God. And like today, the ark of safety is open. And today men will hear the message. And what they do, will they run to the message? No, they'll run away from the message. And today, the message is going forward loud and clear. And even today, there are many Bahamians whose hearts are hard. They don't want to follow the truth. They want to follow the gospel according to their own opinion. Don't care how sincere you might be, if you want to go to the airport and you're downtown Nassau, you have to travel south to get to the airport. If you try to go north, you go over into the sea. And that's how it is with the Lord. If you're living out east and you're traveling west to go east, you'll never get out east. There's the same way, as a matter of fact, in the book of Proverbs, two times Solomon wrote, there's a way that might seem right unto us, but the end of those ways are death. And that's the same way how it is today. We expect for good to come out at the end. It's not going to happen. And today I plead with you, if you don't know the Lord, get to know him. If you know him, the time has come now to study, to show yourself approval. Because when he comes, there'll be no excuse why you and I would be lost.
But Paul, I guess me and you have the same discussion and same thought as what I'm going to talk ask about now. And that is amazing that Christians today always like to call for a day of prayer, a time of prayer. Yet when we read the Lord's Prayer, there's never a time that the Lord asks us to pray for peace. And it seems as if when we have these prayer breakfasts or prayer meetings or these call for prayer for the nation, is always for peace. Why do you think that the Lord's Prayer never mentioned praying for peace?
That's a good question, Brother Joseph. As a matter of fact, when I was thinking about this question, you know, I said, you know, it's amazing that when the Lord told his disciples, teach him to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 to 15, he never told them once to pray for peace. He always told them, pray that your debts will be forgiven, and pray that you will be delivered from temptation, and pray that you'll be able to give man their trespasses again, who were trespassed against you. You also tell them pray for food, daily bread. And never once did he tell them to pray for peace. And I find it very interesting because, you know, if he did, as a matter of fact, in Matthew 24, if you read it true, Jesus said, when these things happen, we must not be troubled. So if Jesus had told them to pray for peace, that means he would have been contradicting them himself. Because in Matthew 6, he told them what to pray for, but never once he told them to pray for peace. And through all of my studies of the Bible, I don't see none of the disciples telling people to pray for peace. But Jesus knew what he would have said in Matthew 24. And in Matthew 24, it paints a grim picture. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 24, Jesus said conditions are going to be so bad before he get here. If he don't come in, if he don't step in, you hear me say this over and over repeatedly. If he don't step in, he say, no flesh shall be saved. But if he elects it, he will cut it short in righteousness.
Brother Paul, once again, we come to almost to the end of the show. And as we study this, as we went through this lesson, we see that the preacher or the politicians have answers to the problems that face us today. Where should we, as a people, Christian and even non-Christians, where should we be turning for answers to the questions that we have now?
Once again, Brother Julian, to the written word of God. Long ago, over 4,000 years ago, the prophet Isaiah penned these words. Isaiah chapter 56 verse 6-11. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and unto our God, and he will have an abundance of pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, said the Lord, neither my ways your ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are not like your thoughts. For the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither. And water the earth, and make it bring forth the bud, that they may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be gathered, so shall my word go forward out of my mouth, said the Lord, and it shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish what I wish I have pleased, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. So today the Lord has sent his word out once again, and he has promised it will not return void. And today I ask you, seek the Lord where he may be found, because soon, very soon, the fulfillment of Daniel chapter 12:1 will take place, where Michael will stand up, Jesus will stand up for his people, and that means there will be no more intercession for his people. And when that time happens, if we have our sins will be ours to keep. What a sad day that will be when Jesus gets up from the side of the Father, and he said there will be a time of trouble that never was, and we try to seek him then, and we will not be able to find him. That's why today Isaiah cries out from the earth, seek ye the Lord, brothers and sisters, while God may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let all of us forsake our evil ways. Turn to God today, and when he come, we will not be found wanting, and I assure you, Jesus will take us home to be with him.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O God, for the opportunity and the privilege for us to come before your throne. We come before you, first of all, O Lord, asking for forgiveness for any sins and any iniquity to meet up in our hearts and our minds. Lord, cleanse us and make us pure. Lord, as once again we come to the end of another program, Lord, we ask for your power and your strength to understand the words that have been said, to understand the lateness of the hour, to understand the seriousness of the times, and to understand most of all that only you could assist us in this time now. Help us, O Lord. Give us the power and the strength to study your word, that we may know what is true, that when you should burst the clouds of heaven, that we should go home to live with you. Is our prayer we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Once again, we ask you to join us tomorrow night. We know it's going to be a holiday, so we hope that when you go to the beach on tomorrow, that all will be well with you and your family. Make sure to watch for the kids and no one get hurt. And tomorrow night, God's willing, we'd like you to call your family and your friends, and even some of the politicians, if they'd be off tomorrow night, to turn into the program. Tomorrow night, here on 1540, we'll be here from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, taking your calls. Until tomorrow night, or until next week, may the peace of God continue to be with you and your family. This is Paul Miller. Our telephone contact is 322-6273.
And this is Julie Miller. May God richly bless you.